Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter, also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where you can check out a lot of great Pelicans analysis. It's 2017 so far, and, well, the Pelicans this year, still winless. So they're going to have another chance tonight against the New York Knicks on the road to try and pull out a victory, get off this little three-game losing streak they're on now. That's on the heels of the four-game winning streak they had before. Got some ups and downs here if you're a Pelicans fan. It's usually just downs, though. But oftentimes you get some ups, and then the Pelicans bring you right back down to earth. Did lose over the weekend. Saturday on the road, part of this five-game road trip they're going on. They played the Celtics in Boston. We're winning at halftime, didn't pull it out after that, came out really flat in the second half, third quarter in particular. We're going to break that down here today on Locked On Pelicans. Previewed the Knicks game a little bit for you guys. College football playoff tonight. I know that's probably what a lot of people are going to be watching instead. But hey, there's Pelicans. They actually have a chance to win. They beat the Knicks before. They can do it again. And I'll tell you what they're going to need to do to get that victory. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only Pelicans podcast coming to you 5 days a week, 6 a.m. every day. So we get it up for your morning commute, your evening commute. It's just out there for you. I don't actually record it at 6 a.m. like some people think. I don't love you guys that much to mess with my sleep schedule in that sense. But it's still there. It's recorded the day in advance. Locked On Podcast Networks, we got a podcast for every team you might be following, whether it's football, basketball. If you're interested in the draft, there's a tremendous Locked On NFL Draft podcast breaking down prospect after prospect. Don't forget about the Locked On Saints podcast. They've got a lot of decisions this offseason, just firing some assistant coaches. Seems like Sean Payton's going to stay, but who knows? They're covering that for you on a daily basis, giving you the best insight that you can't get anywhere else. And also, I know you guys are listening, so you must love basketball. The weekly Locked On NBA podcast is a fantastic resource just to get an idea of what's going on throughout the league as a whole. You guys, I don't even have time to watch every game there is and know all the national storylines, who's playing well for which teams. I listen to Locked On NBA once a week. I catch up on everything I might have missed, get some, you know, new information out there, learn a little bit more here about the trade rumors. It's a great way to keep following on everything. And if you are interested in those podcasts, if you're making sure you're subscribing to Locked On Pelicans, do it through iTunes, through Audio Boom, through the podcast app Stitcher, or whatever app it is that you use. It's a wonder, you know, that's the best way to make sure you're getting the podcast when they come out. It'll download like right to your phone. I think it's how some of them works. So it's there for you. Also, the music in the beginning of the podcast is by local band Vox and the Hound. They've got a show coming up at Gasa Gasa in February when they release their new single coming off their new album in the future. I will be there. You guys should be there as well. And a big thanks to those guys for giving me the music. So that Boston game, not too good. Can't say anyone should be particularly happy about that loss. So the Pelicans actually had a pretty good first quarter, won the first quarter. They were up 31-28. But the big thing is what happened basically after that until the fourth, where the Pelicans scored a lot in garbage time, which at that point the game was kind of put away and it didn't matter. Second quarter, Boston won 29-22, pulling out a lead at halftime. And then it was really the third quarter coming out after halftime when you think the team would be a little bit more energized, maybe have had some chance to get some coaching adjustments that might make a difference in the game, get them fired up, come out and score a total of 20 points while giving up 36. So also, not good. Just there's no other way to put it other than it's bad. And, you know, it's just one of those things. They were kind of outmatched. They had no answer for Boston's two guards in Marcus Smart and Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah Thomas, who's been lighting it up and scoring the ball, he was going to be tough no matter what to try and, you know, shut down. And he's been, you know, what, I think he had a 50-point game the other day. He's one of my more favorite players to watch just play. But in 38 minutes, he scored 38 points. Didn't do much else, though. You know, for a guard, dude had zero assists on the night, meaning he was just looking to score. Kind of one-dimensional in that sense, and the Pelicans couldn't do anything to shut him down. He's too quick, you know, even if you have Holiday guarding him, which they did for the majority of the time, just too fast. There's nothing they could do. Also helps when they get, when he's going off from three, 6 of 11 from three. Marcus Smart was 5 of 7. Pelicans just struggled defending on the perimeter, leaving wide-open shots from there. Forgetting, you know, assignments, misrotations, different things. The standard stuff you guys have heard me say all year long. And, you know, just nothing changed. And in the second half, you come out that flat, allow them to bomb more from deep rather than kind of get on there. It's not like they have, you know, multiple big men that kind of worry you. Yeah, they have Al Horford, but he had an off night. He only shot 3 of 18 from the field. Part of that's due to good defense, but sometimes maybe just let him do a little bit more damage and try and shut down other things. And that's not what the Pelicans did against the Celtics. And that's what's kind of, you know, a bit annoying here. They ended up wasting an Anthony Davis tremendous performance. Davis hadn't played too well over the past 4 or 5 games. And then he comes out on Saturday, scores 36 points, 15 rebounds, 36 points on 22 shots, efficient, got to the line, was 7 of 9 from there. No other Pelican other than Langston Galloway got to the line really at all, and, you know, didn't hit their shots consistently from there. So it's a bit disappointing that he comes out, he finally plays well, and then the team doesn't rise around him to do too much. Holiday only had 13 points. Langston Galloway got hot in the fourth quarter. Like I said, those garbage time points where he was 4 of 8 from deep. Of course, he gets hot. He's been kind of quiet the past few games, hitting only 1 or 2 threes, and that's it. Hey, here he goes for 20 points. It's not enough, unfortunately. Big bright side for the Pelicans here was new signing Donatas Moniunis. And, you know, after the game, Alvin Gentry said it was like the plan wasn't to play him 20 minutes, 21 minutes like he did. But he came out and was playing so well defensively. He was really sound. That's the biggest thing that kind of surprised me. Took a charge, got in there, really worked hard to rebound, grabbed 3 defensive rebounds, 5 overall, and was out there playing and hustling. Hit his 1-3 that he took, was 4-5 from the field overall, 2-4 from the line, which wasn't too good. You know, had a few fouls in there, but that's more he just, you know, he's barely practiced with the team. Give him some more time. He's not going to be a huge difference maker. I don't think this is necessarily going to always be the type of performance he's going to give, but heck, if they can get 11 points out of him, the Pelicans offense will certainly be happy. You know, especially if he's acting as a court spacer. I was kind of skeptical of that. Everyone kept saying he's like Channing Frye, he's going to be a court spacer. He's a 30% career 3-point shooter pretty much, so how much of that is going to remain to be seen. But if he can do that, he'll start earning a lot of minutes. And, you know, if you're a Pelicans fan, at least be happy for this. If you're looking for silver linings, Moniunis is definitely going to be one of them on the night. So the small lineup that's been starting and has been working kind of struggled against the Celtics. Solomon Hill only played 16 minutes. Dante Cunningham, 24. Some of that is Moniunis coming in. You got to give those minutes to somebody. But those two have been playing about 30-plus each past couple of games, but they struggled. Again, you need both those guys to rebound really well in that small lineup to make it work. Against the Celtics, Solomon Hill grabbed 1 rebound. 1 defensive rebound, 2 overall, but 1 defensive rebound. No. Dante Cunningham, 24 minutes, 3 defensive rebounds. It gave the Celtics the opportunity to grab 15 offensive boards. They had 24 second chance points basically off those offensive rebounds. Pelicans aren't going to win when that's happening. You've got to be sound defensive on the defensive glass. I said they need to be up around 80% defensive rebounding rate, if not higher, but like right around there. On the night, they were at 68.8%, under 70% defensive rebounding. It's not going to win you games. They need to figure this out. That's why the small lineup is, you know, maybe at times situational. And I think it's one of those things that I actually might struggle against the Knicks. which leads to the perfect segue. It's like I planned this or something, to talk about the Knicks game on the road in Madison Square Garden. Going to be at 6:30 Central Time here. Pelicans a couple days ago did beat the Knicks in New Orleans 104-92. Game the Knicks, it was kind of close, but not that close really. You never really worried about the Pelicans losing that game. That game was a bit weird because Joakim Noah just was absolutely ineffective when playing against Anthony Davis in that small lineup where Davis was guarding the centers, which he does in small lineups. I don't know if that's the route they're going to go this game for. Maybe just call it a weird feeling or what have you, but the way I look at it was this. In that game, Porzingis and Anthony rebounded tremendously well. Porzingis had 12 rebounds that game, 3 offensive. Anthony had 13 total, 12 defensive. If you run out, that's you can still get beat on the glass again because you're going to have Solomon Hill or Dante Cunningham guarding Carmelo Anthony at the 3 spot, leaving Porzingis matched up with, you know, say you run Hill there and then you have Dante Cunningham guarding Porzingis or Davis guarding Porzingis in that starting lineup, and that's not going to work for this team. They're going to get crushed on the boards that way. And as we just talked about, you know, with the Celtics, you need to have a high defensive rebounding percentage if you're this Pelicans team. You can't win without it. They're gonna lose that battle in that case. So I wouldn't necessarily be shocked if you see them not go with the small ball lineup and basically trot a center out there, whether it's Omer Asik or Alexei Ojinsa, but I don't think it's going to be either of those. I think those guys are basically frozen out of the lineup right now, especially after Monta Ellis played so well. But I wouldn't be shocked if maybe they throw Monta Ellis into the starting lineup and do Monta Ellis, Davis, and Hill or Cunningham, whoever they want defending the 3. That way, at least there's just a positional matchup that's a little bit better. You put Davis on Porzingis. Davis can at least guard him out at the 3-point line. Don't forget, Porzingis has range. He's very athletic. Davis can take that away and neutralize it some and probably beat him on the boards. And Noah is so largely ineffective offensively that you're not really worried if you're putting a weaker defender in Monta Ellis guarding him. So you don't need Davis on there absolutely dominating him. You can put Davis and on Porzingis and match up better against Noah with a guy like Monta Ellis, or even hell, for the little bit it would be Omer Asik in that time. And basically that center will just see his minutes mirrored with Noah. When Noah comes out, you can go small ball and you can play and you can run and you can go back to doing your thing. And I wouldn't be shocked if that's what we see this game. It'll be interesting. Melo, with that injury, you've got to wonder how effective he's going to be. Maybe you want him taking more shots. The dude can still score. But if he's going to be injured and less effective, you know, you kind of want that. Basically, it's just if he beats you, that's okay. You don't want Porzingis getting hot from 3. You don't want Derrick Rose living at the rim. Rose is probably salivating for this game after watching Isaiah Thomas eat the Pelicans alive. No, he's not going to really be taking 3s and drilling 3s like Thomas did, but he can get to the rim and score. So that Pelicans still struggle to keep people out of the paint at times, especially slashing guards. So, you know, there's a chance that he takes over. But basically, the Pelicans shouldn't win this, especially with a center in Monta Ellis who actually played well the night before, and, you know, who has a lot of potential to at least score on offense, be a threat while being sound defensively. If he comes in and has a good game, I don't think the Knicks have much of a shot, especially they seem to be a bit in free-for-all, at the moment. So it's going to be only a good thing for the Pelicans. Over their past, 8 games, the Knicks are 1-7. Pels should get this. If they don't, it's getting time to be kind of concerned. Yeah, the Pelicans are very far under 500 right now, but they're still within striking distance of that 8th seed that they want. You don't do well on this road trip, you're not going to get that 8th seed. You need to get this. You got to get it done on this trip, and that means you can't lose to the Knicks on the road. It's going to look bad if you do. You get the Knicks on the road on Monday, Thursday at Brooklyn, Saturday at the Bulls. Those are 3 winnable games right there. And then Monday you're playing against the Pacers in Indiana to end the road trip. A team they beat at home in overtime, I think it was. I forget if it was overtime or not, but beat the Pacers already, who's not the best team, but not a bad team. You can go and win these 4 games now that are remaining on this road trip. Celtics were going to be a tough one, yeah. Didn't expect to win that. But you need to win three of these next four to at least stay in playoff contention. Otherwise, if they drop a bunch of these games, they're going to fall out. And then the question turns from should they trade for Paul Millsap to should they trade Holiday or trade someone else for maybe a first-round pick if they can get it, though I don't think Holiday will fetch that. In terms of blowing this team up and now tanking, that's not a fun discussion to have. I don't want to talk about that on the podcast really a ton. So I'm hoping the Pelicans pull it together, get this win tonight against the Knicks, and go on and win at least three of the next four overall games. We'll see if that remains to be seen. They haven't exactly given Pelicans fans a ton of optimism and confidence to think this can occur. But there's bright spots in Monta Ellis playing well the other night, Davis getting back on track, and I think they get it done tonight against New York. So that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all listening in today. I'm your host, Jake Madison. Hopefully the Pelicans get a win tonight. Hopefully you get to watch that, get to watch the national championship game. I think if you guys follow me on Twitter, you know what team I've been rooting for recently due to some outside influence, but I'm not going to say it on here. You'll all kill me for that. Maybe if they win, then I will tomorrow. But it should be fun, both games. I'll be watching both at the same time. It's going to be a great night of sports. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow at 6 in the morning.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.